Hey, what's going on, folks? This is episode 7 of the Eric Bailey Vlog Podcast. Just now getting out of school. I know I said I was going to see Alita, Battle Angel, and Captain Marvel before I did the next one. I just, due to time constraint, a lot of homework, a lot of work stuff. I've been busy, so I hadn't seen Battle Angel. I did see Captain Marvel, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to talk about the disarray that the Lakers are in. First, I saw Captain Marvel. Good. That's about it. Wasn't great. I think that it's really hard to do something groundbreaking when you're the 21st installment of something, because at that point, what ground left is there to break? At this point, you're just kind of going through the motions, and don't get me wrong, I mean, the motions, I mean, the formula is down to a science, yes, but, I mean, math is science, that shit's pretty boring. So, and I mean, in no means was the movie boring, it was entertaining, yeah, it's just really hard to do anything groundbreaking when you're like the 21st or something. I like the soundtrack though. Like, just, you know, the score. It was a nice little trip down memory lane. Other than that, I still recommend it. Spoiler alert, so if you haven't seen it yet, which I'm sure everyone who wanted to see it has seen it, but, you know, still just kind of throwing that out there. You don't really need, I originally thought that you would have had to see Captain Marvel to kind of understand what's going to go on in Endgame. And, I mean, unless there is some going back to the past, you don't really, like, it didn't really connect. It was more of an origin story, despite the fact that Carol didn't really fully understand, like, she didn't really fully establish who she even was. So, I mean, it's a nice story. I mean, you get to see Samuel L. Jackson be a little more Samuel L. Jackson, and a lot less, you know, mean vice principal. So there's that. But I'd still recommend it. Still a fun movie. I am looking forward to Shazam. I'm probably, and when I say probably, I am going to do the early showing for Fandango, so I'll be excited about that. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a much bigger DC fan than I am a Marvel fan. Just based on, you know, like, actual source material and content, the comics have just always been a little bit better. The characters are a little more fleshed out. The animation and just the artwork, like, costumes are a little more iconic. So I'm excited to see Shazam. I've heard very few things. I don't really too much watch trailers anymore, because I like going in to movies, especially, you know, comic book movies, because they're my favorite. They've grown to be my favorite type of movie. I don't really do the trailers too much anymore, because I really want to go in not knowing as much as possible. But, you know, for the early reviews coming back saying that it's just a really good movie. And I know that Warner Brothers had that massive flop in Green Lantern, to the point where they decided to make every single character going forward, they decided to basically make Batman. And now that DC is straying away from that, they're kind of seeing that you can balance the grit and the, you can balance the grit and the grind with something that's a little more playful and a little more fun, as you saw in Aquaman. Like, they tried it in Justice League, but I think that Justice League had so many other problems that they couldn't redeem it with the humor. But I think that Aquaman was kind of the first movie to tell you, to show that you can have a gritty character, and you can also have a little lighthearted character. So you can kind of balance both And I think that if Shazam is a continuance of that, then you really have to start evaluating what the public perception of the DC Extended Universe is. Because, to be honest, Man of Steel wasn't a terrible movie. It's not the best Superman movie I've ever seen. But it's not a terrible movie. Marvel kind of has everybody conditioned to the point where if the movie doesn't make $1 billion, then it was a flop. But, I mean, Man of Steel wasn't a terrible movie. Wonder Woman wasn't a terrible movie. Aquaman, I actually think, was a really good one. So, if Shazam hits, then you really got to start looking at the DCEU in a different light, in the sense that, you know what, maybe they haven't really found the formula for the buddy pick yet, but all of their standalone movies really aren't that bad. Like, assuming that Shazam ends up being what critics are, you know, predicting it will be, and for those who have seen it, saying that it is, then you have to start looking at that whole franchise in a different light. Maybe it needs to stop being the butt of so many jokes. But time will tell. I'll find out on Saturday, and I'll share my thoughts about that with you guys. Having said that, though, I want to get into basketball, and it looks like for the sixth straight year, the Lakers will not be participating in postseason contention, and I'm a little heartbroken about that, yes, but I will say that you learned a lot of things out of this season as a fan. Probably the biggest thing is team chemistry is really important. You can't just throw a roster together, add water, and then expect it to contend, no matter who you put on the team. And even if you do put someone on the team that has gotten to 8 straight NBA Finals appearances in the Eastern Conference, sorry about that. you can't just throw that type of player on a team and then expect it to just be good. I remember in the preseason, I was listening to, what's Colin Cowherd's show? I think it's Speak for Yourself or something like that, but I think that's what he does with Jason Whitlock. I'm not totally sure, so I'm just going based off of what he said when he does his little solo show, which I think is just the Colin Cowherd show. I'm not sure. I don't really watch too much TV, so I'm just going based off the YouTube clips that are in the Facebook clips that I see. But ultimately, I remember in the preseason, you know, all the hype that, you know, Colin Cowherd was pushing. He did this one segment where the Los Angeles Lakers, as currently constructed, mind you, this was exhibition, are better than the Cavaliers, and, you know, the expectations were Western Conference Finals. I'll give you the fact that injuries played a very pivotal role in how the season shaped out, but I don't really think that that was the biggest one. Because if you look at the 18 games that LeBron missed by injury, I mean, I don't really know what the term, as a Laker fan, I don't know what the term load management means. Because, you know, I'm used to watching greats that put it all out there on the floor. So I'm not used to the phrase load management. But I'm just looking at the 18 games that LeBron James missed to his injury, which were 18 games. Out of a possible 82, I mean, that's still 78% of the season. So I'm like, I know that other players had, you know, substantial or had missed substantial time due to their own personal injuries. But, I mean, but then that starts, you know, with the narrative of, you know, one guy doing it all by himself. Except when him being by himself doesn't work out, then and only then do you include all the other components that may have missed, which to me, yeah, injuries are still kind of substantial. They're a substantial part of any team's game. And, you know, other teams are able to kind of make it through, and the Lakers didn't. So I think that probably the biggest issue was the lack of chemistry and cohesion. Because one of the things I think that gets overlooked when the season first started was you have a group of guys who were drafted who kind of get
you know, kind of castrated. I'll say something as bold as castrated in the sense that they get referred to as the kids. When LeBron hits town, and even kind of when Kobe was there, it's Kobe and the kids, then it's LeBron and the kids. They're not 21, 22-year-old men, you know, drafted to play a grown man's game. Then you couple that with the fact that you start hearing the narrative. You start hearing the narrative that every single person is guaranteed. The only guaranteed starter is LeBron. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. So, you know, here I am. You know, I'm Brandon Ingram going into my third year. I'm Kyle Kuzma having a phenomenal season. You could have made an argument, probably not a strong one, but you could have made a very strong, but you could have made an argument for Rookie of the Year for Kyle Kuzma. So, Mike, so you're looking to continue on that. And then you get told, you know, before training camp even starts, that the only person that's guaranteed a top spot is LeBron. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? That's cool, even though, you know, there's four other roster spots to fill in the starting lineup, and you're not even going to make any honorable mentions by saying, like, hey, you know, well, we like Kuzma in the starting lineup. And you don't even have to commit to it. You just say, like, hey, you know, LeBron's a for sure starter, and we're going to surround him in that starting lineup with people like, you know, a Brandon Ingram who's coming into his own. So, Mike, so chemistry to me was disrupted on day one. And then, you know, like trying to trade literally an entire team with the mixture of physical players and draft picks, trying to give away literally an entire roster for Anthony Davis, who is a phenomenal player, but a phenomenal player in 60 regular season games. That'll mess you up. So, having said that, I think that you're going to have to reevaluate what you want to be going forward. Because, I mean, let's be honest, LeBron has two contracted years, and I don't think that he's going to be the LeBron James that we're used to seeing for those 2 years. I mean, let's be honest, he was spectacular this year, but in the first year, he wasn't the LeBron James that we're used to seeing. And that's just father time. That's just going to happen. Everybody succumbs to age. He can be the most physically fit person at age 34, but he's still 34. I don't care how physically fit that you are, you're 34. So having said that, you know, you can't really look at what LeBron James is going to be for the Los Angeles Lakers going forward. You have to look at what he's going to be right now. So if you really want to go all in on a championship and utilize having a player like LeBron James, well, I mean, you're really going to have to look and see what the Lakers are going to do going forward. So, I mean, so this offseason is going to be a really interesting offseason to see. I will admit that. This is going to be real brief, but like I said, expect to hear me on Sunday. Because like I said, I'm going to check Shazam out. I'm going to check that out, and I'm going to share my thoughts with you. So there probably may or may not be spoiler alerts, because I know I'm doing the two-week thing early. But having said that, man, you know, I'm going to just get out here and try to be a little more apt with it. Did terrible with school this week, so just know that. But that being said, man, I'm going to try to stay on the up and up. So for all the supporters, thanks for listening, and check you guys later.